This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Down in Birdland, total swing. Bob was king there. Down in Birdland, Bird would cook. Max would look where? Down in Birdland, Miles came through.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. You're looking for a great place for lunch? Don't do a stupid thing like I did yesterday. I got some greasy burger with heavy fat grams. Go to Lion's Choice. If you're looking for a great place for lunch, why not just max out the taste quotient and have one of those medium-rare roast beef sandwiches served on a buttery bun, have the horseradish, have the orange frieze, maybe some french fries. There is nothing better than a Lion's Choice roast beef sandwich. I absolutely love them. They've been around for 50 years. They have 25 locations. We appreciate them being one of our title sponsors. All right. What you were listening to Mike Milbury getting it from the Nashville fans last night?
Yeah, the Nashville fan base were a little ornery last night after losing the Stanley Cup Finals. I cannot play it on the air because there is a fair amount of cursing, but you can hear clear as day through the NBC mics a fan expressing his displeasure at Mike Milbury and kindly asking him to leave Nashville.
Yeah, Brian.
In so many words.
NBC played it on the air.
Yeah, they did. I guess so. I guess I can. Then
that,
if
was
they did.
That was
I
rough.
Guess that's really tough for them to do because they can't pitch it to a studio show. They can't. I guess they could have gone. Let's go back to Doc Emmerich, but his work may have been done. He may have been off the headset. They're in a tough situation. That director, he's hearing things, and boy, how do you get out of that thing? Because that's your host. You're supposed to take this to commercial break, and boy, they had no way to get out.
I'm curious where that fan was, because you can hear him very clearly, like he was right by a microphone. So I'm curious where he was situated towards the set at NBC.
Yeah,
but it was Milbury's not popular. People don't seem to like him very much.
Hey, don't read where that young man is going to school, but read this thought on coaching.
He is a junior at a school. We've seen 2 years of negative coaching that surprised me in two sports. Leader of young men, not sure. I played football and basketball for 4 years and had positive influences at a large public school. I'm bothered by my son's experience. My daughter is playing tennis at another school and has had 4 great years of positive reinforcement. Coaching makes such a difference in your child's experience.
Oh, my goodness. That is the most important thing that's ever been said on this radio show. It really is. I mean, we were we've been so blessed with Alex's college coach and Brooke's college coach. I mean, I'm telling you, Brooke has friends that that they've gone and either played volleyball or basketball in college, and the coach has been a maniac, nutcake, and just completely ruined that kid's college experience. Because, you know, let's face it, you're around this coach 3 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week for months and months and months, and you're there in the summer. He controls you, or she controls you. And if you get some real jerk like that, that is just the worst thing ever. I feel so bad for some of these kids when they come back or at the house and they're telling me about their coach. I'd like to just go down there and just punch the guy. It's just the worst. Frank, what you lack in brains, you make up with stupidity. Shakespeare's pizza on a whole wheat crust is fantastic.
Oh, boy.
I'm not saying it's better than every STL pizza, but there's no STL pizza like it. It's a different style. I got to tell you something, buddy. My family's run a restaurant for about 90 years. I think I know a little bit about food, and I can tell you, we can line up 10 pizza places in St. Louis, and it'll blow that Shakespeare's away. Blow it away. Give me a break. Run a restaurant. Then you can talk smack. I say very sarcastically.
I had a feeling there might be some blowback to that Shakespeare's take because people
it's just
are
not. It's okay. Okay,
and that's how my wife feels too. I think I like it better than she does, but I wouldn't anoint it necessarily either.
Your wife is a woman of great taste, except for one major decision she
well,
made a few
you
years
know,
ago.
Yeah, but I knew you'd get some blowback on that one.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the worst, but if that's supposed to be so revered there,
it's not even my favorite pizza in Columbia, to be fair, and it's kind of overpriced. So I can see that too. In my view, I think it's a little overpriced compared to some other places.
All right. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so. Winning Streak Listener Line, 855-282-8255. Lion's Choice Text Line, that same number, 855-282-8255. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. A little bit later in the program, We'll talk some hardcore baseball with the commish Rick Hummel at 11:30. And we're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Gateway Motorsports Park at about 10:50. Were you covering the ball game yesterday?
Yeah, I was there, yes.
And what were your lasting impressions from that game? What's your takeaway?
I mean, I guess easy to turn things around against the Phillies, as you mentioned in the monologue. But again, it doesn't matter who you play. The wins count. They're part of the league. And the Cardinals needed something like that over the weekend. There was some good stuff from Adam Wainwright after the game, just kind of talking about how, again, he didn't feel like he had much control of his pitches, whether it was the heat and his curveball was having some trouble. But my takeaway is that, you know, 5 innings, 2 runs for Adam Wainwright on a day that he's not doing well and he doesn't feel like he has his best stuff, and that gives you a chance to win the game. I think the more kind of bad starts Wainwright has like that, the better the Cardinals are going to be, because, again, if the offense backs you up a little bit, which they did yesterday on the Fowler home run, you get a win out of it, and wins are wins, whether it's the best way to evaluate a pitcher or not. 7 wins is something to there's something to be said for that.
I was a little surprised, but not stunned, that they decided to go with Marco Gonzalez instead of Luke Weaver. But, you know, when you hear Mo talk about it, I heard him on Kimmel X Sports on Sunday morning, it makes sense. And Gonzalez has been very good, and he's been here before.
So. And I'm not sure on the update on this, but Weaver was removed early from his start yesterday in Memphis. I haven't heard this morning any if there's been any update on his condition, if there's an injury or something there, but might be something to look out for if that's not already been addressed.
All right. Oh, Brian Howard is going to join us from TCU today. Were you watching that game last night?
No, I was not.
Brian, did you happen to check that out, TCU, Missouri State? Gosh, he is just great theater. I don't know. He's not going to be a first-round pick. I'm not sure where he's going to go in the draft. See, it's interesting. If you're a fourth-year senior, you have no negotiating power at all. See, if you're a third year, well, I can go back for my fourth year. But if you're a fourth, they can basically say, well, where are you going to go? So you got to kind of accept the money. And I think he's going to make it, though. I mean, he's just got enough pizzazz. He throws enough pitches and he throws enough strikes. I think he's going to make it. All right. Let's see. Frank, my daughter went to school in the Nashville area, said the Pred fans were very rude and poor behavior. How about that? Cardinals can't afford to give Grichuk playing time over Pham. Grichuk had his chance, and we need to see if we're going to be buyers or sellers by the trade deadline. Let's see how well this team can play with the right pieces in place. I was a little surprised, but I admired John Mozeliak's brutal honesty, bringing up the possibility on Friday that they could be sellers, which is completely foreign to Cardinal fans.
Yeah, it's not something that's happened before. I think you've got a few pieces on this team. If the Cardinals were in that mode of selling, that would make sense to take offers on, because there'd be some value in some guys like Lance Lynn, maybe even Sung Wan Oh and Trevor Rosenthal. So I think that would be interesting to see. But again, they can win their way back into first place as early as this week. So who knows?
Yeah, nobody. I mean, nobody. Even Cubs haters had the Chicago Cubs on June 12th with a record of 31-31. Look at this division. The Brewers are 33-31, then 31-31. Chicago. The Cards are three games under 500. The Reds are 4 games under 500, and the Pirates are 7 games. Look, can you imagine this? The Pirates are 7 games under 500, Brennan, and they're 4.5 games out of first place.
Yeah, it's wild, and I don't know. I don't know if we can expect it to go this way all year. You keep thinking the Cubs are going to pull out of it, but maybe they're just a 85-87 win team, and it goes down to the wire.
How about this? San Francisco is 15 games out of first place,
ooh,
and they're 26-39. Well, there are a lot of teams that have just, like, in terms of being the most disappointing team, the team that you expected to do well, I think the Cubs would be the most disappointing team. And then after that, would it be San Francisco? Or would it be the Mets at 28-33? Of course,
probably,
the Mets have a legitimate excuse.
Yeah, we kind of saw that there could be some pitching injuries for them. It seems like the Giants take every other year off, and so it's not surprising that they wouldn't make the playoffs this year. But I don't think anybody thought they'd be 13 games under 500. I mean, they're just as bad as the Padres right now.
A couple more texts. Why wasn't Martinez pulled after 6 on Saturday? That's the Matheny way. Well, that was one. I don't know. Have you seen a better start in the last couple of years?
Nope. He was fantastic. It was great to see. He has been closing in on that complete game shutout. Had a couple of chances at it, and it just didn't work out earlier this year. But he was on, and there was no way he was coming out of that game.
How about this story? My son was at varsity workouts as a junior at a local high school, and while running some new plays, made a couple of mistakes. The coach told him to get the hell off the court. Well, he did and didn't bother coming back because he didn't want to work his ass off for that jerk. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I see so much negativity. I just wish all coaches would take a class and learn, hey, do you want to max out this player? Do you want this player to achieve his potential for you? Then just encourage. You know, you can get on him a little bit, but after you just say that to him, you pull him aside and say, look, I got on you. I'm sorry about that, but I know you're a good player. I know you can learn this offense. Just go out there and do it again. It's freaking June. You didn't just lose a game, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think you're spot on with all that, Frank.
Frank, Columbia has a quaint little pizza place on Broadway called Papa John's that beat Shakespeare's hands down.
I thought they were going to go with Gumby's, my personal favorite that I've mentioned a couple times before.
Word on the street is Brian Howard will go in between 10 and 15. He's a great kid, one of the nicest young men I've ever met. He will do well in life. I'm getting this from a couple of texts here. So, yeah, he's a winner. His dad is Major Dan Howard, a city police officer, a great guy, and we wish him luck. I should know this. TCU won it last year, right? Or did they get beat in the finals?
I will look that
up. They got to the finals, and he was, like, great down the stretch. I think they won it. Yeah. Double-check that. We're having a little trouble getting in touch with Mr. Pohl as we speak. Are we getting close here, Brian? Waiting for directions. TCU in it? All right, you look at that. I'm going to tell you about the Bomarito Automotive family. We had John Bomarito on Channel 5 last night. He and Curtis Francois are responsible for making it the biggest racing day in St. Louis sports history, the Bomarito 500, August 26th at Gateway Motorsports Park. If you want tickets to this event, well, you go to bomarito.com and you can get discounted tickets, and you can also get passes where you'll actually be able to walk around the pits and actually see the drivers. The Bomarito Automotive family, they sell more cars than anybody in the state of Missouri, and they've done it for 8 straight years.
Frank, I think you'll remember when I tell you last year was the first ever title for Coastal Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Gosh, yeah. Yes. They beat TCU, right?
They beat Arizona. TCU was in the semis, so they tied for third place with Oklahoma State. They did not make the final last year.
We're getting a lot of calls on this, a lot of text on the coaching thing. Frank, there's a baseball coach in blank that coaches through intimidation and negativity, ruins kids' high school experience. But if you want to play, you have to put up with it. Yeah, see, that's the problem.
I think it might be like too many coaches coaching at that level, like kids, high school level, think they're coaching like professional athletes or something and don't have the temperament to handle young minds and you know, young people.
Yeah.
That's problematic for sure.
All right, this Sunday is Father's Day, and there is one tremendous Father's Day story, and it surrounds one of the great wide receivers of his generation and the author of one of the most famous catches in St. Louis Rams history.
Backs are split behind Kurt Warner. Takes, back to throw, under some pressure, rainbows the far sideline, and it is touchdown Rams! Yes, Ricky Pearl! He went deep on it!
And Ricky Pearl joins us now. Ricky, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Frank. It's good to hear your voice, man.
We loved covering Ricky Pearl, not only as a wide receiver, but in the locker room. He was always a great interview. I thought you'd go into full-time broadcasting, but you took a turn and moved into coaching. Tell me about, we'll get to why you're leaving coaching in just a moment, but how you enjoyed your coaching with the Carolina Panthers.
I enjoyed it tremendously. It was just, it's a tough transition as a player of 17 years and to have something that's been a part of your life for so long and to just all of a sudden go cold turkey, it was tough. And so the coaching aspect was really, you know, kind of filled that void, so to speak, especially on game day, you know, and just being around the guys, being back in the locker room. And obviously it's different as a coach. It isn't totally the same, but it still fills that void of being around, being part of the game still. And I loved it. I loved the camaraderie. I loved the relationship with the receivers, with the players in general. And it was a lot of fun. It really was. But it was a lot of time, a lot of time away from the family, which I think a lot of the general public really don't realize the work and the time that coaches put into game plans and preparing for Sunday's game.
Ricky, give us an idea what your work week was like as a receivers coach with the Carolina Panthers.
Well, just to give you an example, you come in on starting from Monday morning after a game, you're in at 6 in the morning. I review the film, look at my wideouts, what they're doing, what they did well, what they need work on. Just basically critique them and grade them. And then we watch it with the offensive staff. So I watch it again the second time. And then we'll review it as a coaching staff in its entirety. And that usually happens about 11 o'clock till 12:30. And then 1 o'clock the players come in. And then we watch it again with them. So I've watched it three times by the time 1 o'clock hits. And then you go over the mistakes and the things, the corrections that we need to make. And then you move on. By 3 o'clock you're moving on to your next opponent. And especially after a tough loss, it's hard because as a player, when you lose, it's terrible. But you come in Monday and you watch the film, you grade it, you look at yourself and what you need to improve on, and then you move on. And you have a day off Tuesday and then Wednesday. By that time, you've forgotten it's next to the next game. But as a coach, that Monday's a long, you know, it's just a drawn out deal to where it's hard to let it go. But then you have to because it's moving on to the next opponent. So you're there till Monday game planning for the next opponent. You're there till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Tuesday's an all-day deal, 6 o'clock to 11. Them first days early in the week, there's anywhere from 15 to 17-hour days game planning, getting ready for that next opponent. And then as the week goes on, it starts tapering off to 12-hour days. You know, 10-hour days, 6-hour days. A Saturday, it's a pretty quick day. It's 3-4 hours. So, but it's a lot, and it's a lot of time away from, like I said earlier, your family, your wife. You know, if the kids are gone, so it's you know, you have to love it, and a lot of these guys do, and I did. But as I'm sure you're getting to, the timing of it was. For me, it was time to make a decision.
Yes, Ricky Prohl, after, you've been on the Carolina coaching staff since 2011, has decided to step down so you can watch your son play his senior season as an outstanding wide receiver at North Carolina. And it was really touching, your son's response after he heard what you had done for him.
Well, Frank, it was, you know, I had no idea the response I've gotten, not just from my son, my family, but from the community in Charlotte, in Greensboro, here where I am, people that when I'm out and about, you know, for me it was, we've always had a close family, and you know, my kids have grown up playing sports, and I've been involved in their sports from coaching them to disciplining them and, you know, trying to teach them right from wrong and making good choices as a father and just trying to be there for them. And it was a lot easier as a player than it was as a coach. And you know, you just, like I just alluded to, the coaching and the hours is a lot. And, you know, I woke up one day and said, man, Austin's going to be a senior already. And he's starting to have a lot of success. And it's been 3 years, and I've seen him play maybe 5 times. And I think the kicker was when I went to the Virginia game. It all worked out where we had a bye week. I went up there and grabbed some of my kids and my nieces and nephews, and we drove up to the Virginia game, and I was able to be on the sidelines and to watch him catch a 60-yard post for a touchdown. And it just hit me right in the heart and just said, man, I need to be there. I need to watch. He's got one more year. My youngest is going to East Carolina to play football, and I just want to enjoy the fruits of their labor and all the hard work they put in. I want to be a dad and be there to support them, be there. You know, I know how much it meant to him, for him to score a touchdown and for me to be there and to celebrate with him on the sidelines was very special.
And it must have just killed you getting on a plane on a Saturday afternoon to fly to Atlanta for a game and your son is playing in front of 70,000 people and you're not there.
Absolutely. I mean, twice, Frank, it happened where he played in the ACC Championship against Clemson in our stadium, and I'm on a plane, and, you know, I'm getting texts, you know, when I land, did you see Austin's catch? He looks great. You know, and you're excited because obviously he's doing well, but to not see it, and then when your son says, hey, did you see this play? Did you see the catch I made? And you know, and all you can tell him is, no, I didn't see it. You know, I taped it. I'll be able to see it, you know, when I get home. But that was hard. That was really hard. And that's why I decided to make the decision that I made, because I wanted to see every catch and every play his senior year. I didn't want to look back 10 years from now and say, man, I wish I would have been there more. I wish I would have been able to watch him play and see Blake play. I can't tell you how excited I am for this upcoming fall to be able to be at every game, home and away, and just to be there for him and watch him, you know, just have the success that he's worked so hard and he's dreamt about having this next year.
Did you ever think, or did you even ever ask Ron Rivera, any chance I could take a late flight? I got to watch him play. Or you never even thought of even trying?
No,
that.
I definitely did. That's one thing. I'm not, Frank, I'm a lot of things, but scared ain't one of them. And I'm not afraid to ask. The worst thing is they can say no, and unfortunately, no just came up too often. You know, I sat down and talked previous years to Dave Gettleman, our general manager, and Ron, and it was, hey, we'll work it out, no problem. It, you know, when home games, you'll be able to do this, that, and the other. And there were times where Ron was awesome. I mean, there were times where he said, yeah, go ahead. But even at home games, it was getting on the highway racing 90 miles an hour to get there in time for the game and then having to leave early to get back in time for a night meeting. It got to the point where it was like, you know what? This is too much. I want to be able to enjoy it and stay after the game and enjoy it with him and be there with my wife and kids that are going to the games and the bowl games that I never got a chance to go to. And so it was. They talked about it. But at the end of the day, like the ACC Championship, our game got flexed to a night game. We were playing the Saints. And I said, Coach, can I go down there? And, you know, I can get on a flight. I can be in New Orleans at 8 o'clock Sunday morning. The game's not till 4. And I understand his deal. He said he worried about something happening, plane getting canceled, you know, the flight getting canceled or something. He says, it's too much. You can't do it. So it sounded good, but it never happened. And that's why, again, it was time.
We're talking with the great Ricky Prohl, who caught 669 balls in the NFL for nearly 1,000 yards and 54 touchdowns. You're going to have a problem, though, because your youngest is starting his career at East Carolina next year, or is he going to be a senior in high school?
He is starting his career at East Carolina next year.
So how are you going to make a decision? I guess you have to go to the senior, correct?
Yes, have to. I told Austin the other day, though. I said, Austin, if Blake does play, if he doesn't get redshirt and he plays, I'll probably miss your Old Dominion game in Norfolk because they play West Virginia. ECU plays at West Virginia, and that would be that's a great atmosphere for football. And I know that'll be, as a freshman, man, that would be a great moment for him. I'd love to be there for that one. But everything else, I'll be wearing that Carolina blue for 11 games, if not 12.
And do they have a lot in common with their dad as wide receivers? Do they have a chance to play in the league?
They do. I think Austin's ranked up there right now for guys coming out next year. They're different receivers as far as stature goes. Austin's 5'10". Blake's, God, he's pushing 6'2". But the one thing I'm most proud of is they still have work to do, but they're technicians. They love to work. I mean, they put in their work. I mean, I'll train them. They'll come to the park. They'll drive 2 hours, an hour, and I'll work them for 3 hours, and they just go nonstop, man. They can't get enough of it. And that's the thing is as a dad, you know, you kind of put the the foot on the pedal, so to speak, on them when they were early years, and you were hard on them, from teaching them just the details, the little things, and sometimes it was hard for them to understand, and now they get it. I don't have to say anything. When they screw up or they don't do it right, they're telling me, "Give me, I need another one." But you know, and that's the thing. You just sit back and you just admire what they're doing and understanding how they have to work to get to where they want to go, and that's the best of the best, and wear that NFL shield, and so that's, as a dad, man, it makes me proud just to see the young men they're growing up to be.
So why do you think the coaching profession so cannibalizes people and families? I mean, what's the obsession? Bud Grant used to call it off at 5 o'clock. You think this is insane, the way they do this now in the NFL?
For me, if I was ever a head coach, yeah, it would be, there would be some different things that I would do, just because I think at the end of the day, it's football, and there's obviously, you have to game plan, and there's so many things. The computer and the technology in today's game is so advanced. When I was playing, and even when I first got into coaching, it's advanced in the 6 years that I was coaching, that it's created more work for guys. I mean, guys now can go back 3, 4, 5, 6 years to look at a defense that a coordinator now was at Jacksonville, now he's in Buffalo. And it just creates that much more work. And at the end of the day, there's 60, 70, maybe 80 plays a game, you know, and I think it's overkill. You provide too much information for these players to where they can't play fast. They're thinking too much. And I think the ones that have had success, keep it simple to where their teams play fast, they play physical, and it shows up. And I think getting to the family side, you can have breaks in the day, whether it's times at dinner, to where there are organizations that create time for wives and kids to come and enjoy their families during dinner time, to where they can take an hour, hour and a half, 2 hour break, and then get back at it at night, to where their young kids can come and enjoy their dads and see them before they go back to their, I call the third shift. You know, you have an early shift, and then the players come in, and then you have that middle shift, and then the players go home at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and it's like, okay, we're starting our third shift. But, I just think it's just such a huge component. And like I said, a lot of families do have their children and their wives come and visit them, but it's for 15, 20 minutes, just because it is. They're gone all day, and sometimes they don't see their dads till the end of the week, till the week starts slowing down. And that's, to me, that's awful. I mean, that's, you know, the league does such a good job in doing providing resources for the players, but I think they got to do a better job for coaches, because I think it's unhealthy for coaches not to be there. Father figure is so important for little girls, for little boys, and just to be there and to be that mainstay in the family, to be that block and that wall. And I think they need to do a better job with that, in my opinion. That's my opinion, Frank.
Before we let you go, are you going to be in Canton for Kurt? And when's the last time you've talked to him?
I talked to Kurt. It's been a little bit. It's been a couple months, maybe 5, 6 months, but I plan on being there, absolutely.
Who's going to present him, you think, if you had to guess? Brenda, Coach Vermeil, you have any ideas? You actually know? Oh, do you know or no?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it could be a number of people. I mean, you look at, what you just said, it could be Brenda, it could be Coach Vermeil, maybe it's one of his sons. You know, maybe it's his arena coach. Maybe it's the guy, his boss at Piggly Wiggly or whatever.
The Hy-Vee, yeah.
You know, who knows? But it's what a great story, and I'm excited. I'm happy for Kurt, and I'm excited.
Well, we are really happy for you. What a great decision you've made. It's good for the whole country to hear this. ESPN is going to do a big piece on this, about Ricky Prohl leaving the coaching profession to be with his boys and to watch them play football. It's what America needs more of now. Ricky, thanks so much for your time.
Frank, it's so good to hear your voice, and the people of St. Louis. I love everyone, man. What a great, great city, great sports town. I mourn that we lost the Rams, but man, I can't wait to get back. Every time I get there, I love Love spending time in St. Louis. Great place, and it's great to hear your voice, Frank.
All right, Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ricky Prohl joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. He is just here's I'll read a text. I was going to say this, but this texter wrote it perfectly. Ricky Prohl is the king of class. The summer minicamp after the Super Bowl winning team was downtown at a bar, and he sat and hung out with myself and my wife and our friends for at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. Awesome guy. Thanks, Ricky, from Jim. I wish I would have read it on the air so when Ricky was with us. What else you got there? Let's see. Can you just tell them what a great guy he is? I mean, you're walking away from a pretty good job, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
good money.
These assistant coaches make a lot of money.
Yeah, and, you know, if you have aspirations to continue on that path and rise through the ranks and things like that, it's a great spot to be. And, you know, it just tells you how much it was killing him. You could hear it in his voice, too, how much that bothered him not being able to be there. And, you know, at first maybe he thought he could do both, but then after a couple of years doing it, he realized that was a decision he had to make, and I think it's awesome.
Is there anything more stupid than the way these coaches handle things? Can you imagine that? You get there at 6 a.m. and you leave at 11 o'clock, and you probably do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe you start to a little
Saturday's
bit.
Saturday's an all-nighter, probably.
You're playing
Saturday's
a game.
Saturday's actually the light day.
Oh.
You're playing a game for a living. I think and you're turning it into, you know, it's got to be an 80-hour work week.
Right. Like, I don't want to play it down. Like, I'm sure they have pride in their jobs and it's a competition and you want to win. But this isn't like military planning or something
right.
like that. You don't need to study every last, okay, this is what happens when the Nichols defense or whatever. That just seems a little too overkill.
Brett Favre didn't even know what a Nichols defense was. Yeah. He did okay.
When we really cared about the Rams when they were really good, we did live shots out there at 10 o'clock, and I knew where Jim Hannifin's office was. It was kind of this on the second floor on the right side, and there were times when we were finishing up our live shots at 11 o'clock, and I could look up there, and I could see the light, and I could see Hannifin up there. I mean, how many times do you have to look? God bless Jim Hannifin, too. It like Orlando Pace's, you know, move on a defensive end, or I mean, please, you're looking at offensive linemen. They block people. That's what you do. And he's up there every night till 11 o'clock, like, looking at film.
I always appreciated Pinkel's stance on that.
Yeah, he was good. You're right.
He would at least, you know, they'd put in the hours, and I'm sure ultimately it was still a 75, 80-hour work week, but he'd say, like, at 6 o'clock, go home. Go eat dinner with your family, be there for 2 hours or whatever, and then come back, and then we'll put some more work into it. He at least let them take a break in the day to at least be parents and a husband. Yeah. So I always appreciated that.
All right, I want to tell you about Winning Streak. They sponsor the phone lines here, and Winning Streak is in DuPont, Illinois. That's where the plant is. It's 25,000 square feet. And if you look at, like, some of the reviews online about people who have dealt with Winning Streak, glowing, because their service is second to none. Chris Brown runs the company. What they do is they come to your practice, they come to your business, and they bring out a bunch of samples and ideas. Then they'll bring them back to DuPont and make them. They bring them back to you. So you don't even have to leave. You just pick up the phone and you dial 888-570-6194 or go to their website, winningstreak.com. We'll take a short time out. We have a big 11 o'clock hour coming your way. We're going to talk with Brian Howard at 11, Chris Blair at about 11:20, and the commish at 11:30. We'll be right back.